A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights probably gone.
So had the stairs.
You are just number six.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 484. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about The City in the City. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, this is The City and the City, a 2018 BBC adaptation of the novel of the same name. It is presented on screen in four episodes of about 55 minutes each, and it is a murder show. It's a murder investigation, but of course, it's in a strange world that fits our remit, a world where two cities can apparently coexist in the same physical space. We will explain a bit more in a moment, Brian.
Yes, it is a little bit mind-bending because there is a mixture of cultural and sort of legal things to keep the two cities and the two cultures separate, but there is also something physical going on there in an almost interdimensional kind of way. So getting into some more of that, and we will start getting into some spoilers here. The cities of Beigel and Alcoma share what's sometimes called this crosshatched physical space, where the people of the two cities have learned not to see each other and to unsee things that are in the other city, but there are also apparently physical limitations in the kinds of interactions they can have and what they can and can't see.
And we're given the very strong impression that this is deeply ingrained in the residents of the two cities, this unseeing, which they have learned since a very young age. And it is, in fact, legally enforced by this secretive organization known only as Breach. Now, despite that, people can make legal arrangements to travel between the two cities, but it does involve inevitably a lot of paperwork. And also, it seems, particularly from David Morrissey's portrayal as Theodore Borloo, it does seem to involve a very strange physical sensation as they cross the border. Whether this is because of the deep ingrained sort of psychological blocks that they've put in their own brains, or whether it's actually a physical transferal that causes the queasy feelings, I'm not quite sure, Brian, but perhaps we will get to that.
Yeah, they have a border checkpoint that you can travel through, and it's okay to do that, but whichever city you're in, moving to the other wherever you are, or seeing things from the other wherever you are, that's something that is very much not allowed and only possible in limited ways, it seems.
Indeed. Now, of course, this is a murder show. We mentioned in our last episode that the unfortunate victim, a woman called Mahalia Geary, whose body was found in a crosshatched area. And as you said last time, Brian, the two police forces of Beigel and Alcoma will do anything in a way to try and, I think, shift responsibility to the other jurisdiction, but also to clear up this case as quickly as possible, because both of them do not want anything at all to happen that would involve Breach getting involved. The police forces themselves, they are scared of Breach as well.
Yes. And there is this sort of little mystery of who are Breach? You know, who is this organization? How are they enforcing this separation? And what are they hiding? What is going on in this situation that they know that no one else does? So they're quite shadowy. And there is also this idea of a third city that blends the two in the same space and somehow does not have the problems and has a greater freedom. And this is the mythical city of Orsini.
And I think we are sort of getting into more spoilerish territory, but we can sort of say that various characters have been researching Orsini, and that some of that is to do with the archaeological digs. It's to do with characters who are no longer with us, as it were, Brian. But yeah, there's been investigations already going on, and Borlu will uncover this as he does his own murder investigation.
That's right. There's this academic community that investigates these things and has some arguments for the idea of Orsini, but there is also a more almost religious community of believers who are wanting to move towards this idea and to be accepted to get an invitation to go to Orsini.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff going on. I mean, we haven't even mentioned that in Bejel there's a sort of, would you call them, sort of more far-right political movement that's protesting as well. There's all sorts of stuff going on between these two or even three competing cultures.
Yes, that's right. There's a lot going on here. There are a lot of layers. And thinking about how some of this works, the citizens of these two cities seem to be, at least in some cases, occupying the same physical space as their counterparts. There was a moment at one point of a car in one city having to swerve to avoid a car in the other city. And there are things like this. There was possibly an implication. Eamon, did the two not drive on the same side of the road? That was not quite clear to me.
No, I'm not quite sure, but there does seem to be some road traffic arrangement, or as you say, way of unseeing, but at the same time avoiding traffic in the crosshatched areas.
Yeah, it's very much not made completely clear, a lot of these things, but that's part of what makes it interesting too.
As you know, Brian, I struggled a little bit to try and explain or understand this as to whether they are in some sort of different dimensions, the two cities that overlap, this soft place where two worlds seem to collide. It is very interesting, as you say, when Borlu is in the back of a taxi in the crosshatched area, and the sort of mere idea of glimpsing what's happening in Old Coma is causing him almost physical discomfort. And like I say, I'm not sure if that is just the way that is so deeply ingrained in the culture, or whether there's actually are physical effects of this sort of transitional area. Can we explain the phenomenon and the physics of all this at all, Brian?
Well, no, I don't think we can, because I don't think we have enough information there. But from the way it's presented in the television serial, I think it's pretty clear that there is a physical separation going on there, that while they are ignoring and unseeing the things they see, the things they see are not physically realized in a full way. Usually something is either in one city or the other and may have like a partial manifestation in the other. So it seems to be physical and this sort of cultural thing reinforcing it. That's the best I can get from it.
Right. Okay. That sort of helps me a little bit with it. I would say it's a pretty good concept for a TV show and for the book, of course, where China Mieville came up with this. It's pretty impressive stuff.
Yeah, I wonder what this would have looked like on stage. If anyone actually saw the production in Chicago, let us know, because I don't know what approach they took and how they would manage that on stage. That sort of piques my curiosity.
We have tried to see the odd stage show based on shows that we've covered, but of course it does depend which part of the world, which theatre is putting on this. But as you say, Brian, mind-boggling to think of doing this on stage and how you would show that crossover between the two worlds or the two cities. Yeah, fascinating. If anybody can fill us in on the city and the city on stage, please do.
Yes, very often by the time we are looking into covering a show, the stage version has long passed and is now, you know, years ago.
Yeah, very true.
However, we should get into some of our own thoughts more than we already have and what we have to say about this show. So, Eamon, what did you like about the television production of The City in the City?
Well, I will, as you say, start with the right side of Breach and say that the central concept, although it hurts my brain thinking about it, Brian, is so clever and so sort of just fantastical and weird fiction. So the central concept from China Mieville, I absolutely loved, even though I can't understand it or explain it. What about you? What did you think of this idea for this world and these two divided cities?
Oh, I thought it was great. I thought it was interesting and has a lot of layers to it. And I did like how they did that. I will say as well, I particularly liked the influences they used and that it was not a sort of obvious one side is clearly West Berlin and the other is East Berlin, or one is clearly in Russia and the other is clearly in the UK, because they had some quite Germanic and Russian types of things in the look of things and the language and the like for Olcoma, but they also had Middle Eastern things and Eastern European Cyrillic typefaces showing up for Bejel. So you had things looking quite Eastern European and not as Western on the Olcoma side, but it also looks sort of more modern in the buildings and the technology and so on. So that mix and that blend that gives you sort of the uncertainty that it's not obvious what you're seeing represented. That was something I really liked as well.
And while we're on that subject, I think we have to shout out the great production design on this show, the way they have delivered two separate cultures, two languages, different look, feel, sound in each city, and the wonderful sort of effects they use to blur the crosshatched areas. Certainly in terms of its look and its sound, pretty spectacular stuff, I'd say, Brian.
Yes, it looks great for sure. And they really went into establishing the differences between the two different cities and also the way they relate to each other and the limitations in what you can see from one to the other and so on. As well, I will say the world building in terms of the dialogue and the things we see happening is very good in this. There was a segment that I liked where Borlu, who was about to go to Olcoma for the first time in a long time, he has to take this seminar where they teach people from Bejel how to see Olcoma or Bejel, depending on which one they're in at the time. And, you know, going to Olcoma and not seeing their home of Bejel. And that, I think, was very well done and sort of reinforced these ideas of the cultural things going on.
Yeah, fascinating. The whole idea of the sort of initiation, the training, the paperwork, the cultural shock that you have to undergo in order to move from one city to the other is just amazing. What about the cast, Brian? What did you make of the performances here?
I thought they were all really good. In particular, David Morrissey was great as Borlu, and the constable, his assistant, Mandeep Dhillon, was great in that role. I love the interactions between them. And then when you crossover and have Kasima Dutt played by Maria Schrader, so you have the sort of opposite numbers and, you know, this is how you have to do things when you're in Olcoma, she was great, and those interactions, they were all very good too.
Yeah, I mean, the central detective duo of David Morrissey and Mandeep Dhillon were great. I've said this before on British Invaders, but I could watch another show about those two as the detective duo solving a crime quite easily and happily. properly.
Yes, you could do a follow-up that takes place later on. That would be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
They also have some American characters in this, and it does not avoid the thing where British and American shows seem to look down a little bit at the people from across the pond. But the way it was handled with the Americans was interesting, because they don't quite have patience with the difference between the two and will happily go to both and go from one to the other. And the amount that they respect the rules sort of varies. So the way they handled those people coming in and not always thinking much of the cities of Alcoma and Bejel and how they do things, but also, you know, being sort of brash and what have you. I kind of liked how that worked in this.
Yeah, interesting. They don't have that ingrained sort of respect for the differences between the two cultures, or they don't have the sort of conditioning, I suppose, that the people of the two cities have built up in order to deal with the transition, the breach.
Yeah, they have to learn it. And some of them have more respect for what they've learned and the culture there than others do. And in particular, there's a sequence, the woman who died and kicked off this investigation, she was from the U.S. and had been living in Alcoma doing archaeological work and ends up dying in Bejel. So that's why Bejel is investigating. Her parents come there from the U.S. and they're, you know, concerned with their daughter. They're not necessarily concerned with the rules and how Bejel and Alcoma do things. So that, you know, I liked how that was portrayed.
Yeah, nicely done. Interesting way to approach another sort of cultural difference.
They were shown it was not when the parents come in, there's a certain amount of disrespect coming from them, but they're not shown without sympathy.
Yeah.
Which I liked. I thought that was, that had a little bit more subtlety than I might have expected it to. So I like that.
Okay. Now, the writing on this series, we're going to start drifting across the border, possibly to the other side of Breach. What did you make of the writing on the show, Brian?
Yeah, so I have mixed feelings about it. There are things I liked in the world building, and I actually like the murder mystery investigation side of this. I thought that was good. As we move towards the ending, I think it was maybe a little bit too close to the novel and its adaptation, and maybe didn't have enough time, because some of the things with the ending I felt were not convincing enough and not well set up enough and were a little bit unsatisfying. You know, not quite as well explained as they should have been. So I'm a little bit of two minds when it comes to the writing.
There's an awful lot to be delivered in this TV show. You've got to explain the setup, you've got to explain the murder, you've got to explain all the jurisdictional problems, the archaeology, what they were looking into. There's the whole subject that we've got to get to, as you say, Brian, of Breach and who they are and what they're doing. There's the rather, we're not going to get all the answers in the final episode. And this is very unusual for me here on British Invaders, Brian, but I thought this was too short of a show.
I would agree. It was sort of shy an episode or two because there were some setup things that I think were probably needed that weren't there. We do get to characters who are part of Breach, and we see how Breach does things, and I thought that was great. But the resolution to the Orsini idea and, you know, the third city and all of that, that was not well enough explained and not compelling enough. There was something that comes into it with a sort of evil corporation that is taking advantage of things, and that was all right as a plot device. place, but it wasn't really set up very well. It was set up a little bit, but I didn't really get enough of its significance for the payoff with it to work.
Right.
And the payoff of Orsini, I thought also was just not convincing enough.
Right. Yeah, give them another episode or two.
Yeah, I think in this case, they really did need it. And, you know, as much as we like having adaptations that stay close to the novel of various things, and I think that can be wonderful, the hazard is that if you go too close, you do things that don't work as well on TV, and it becomes harder to understand or harder to be convinced by things if you haven't read the novel. And as you can see, we've gone into our negatives here, but that's how I felt about this, particularly with the ending. It just was not convincing enough, did not work well enough, and was sort of a bit unsatisfying because of all of that.
It's difficult to get a very satisfying conclusion sometimes to a television police procedural investigation. And it's got a lot of questions to answer, which, of course, it doesn't fully answer all of our questions at the end, because, well, you know, to be honest, it can't, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is perhaps, you know, trying to fit too much of the book and staying too faithful to the book into 4 hours when it felt like it needed to be longer and give us more time in this world. While we're in the negatives, there's the sort of blurred screen effects, there's the edge of the screen, the idea that we're sort of seeing stuff at the edge of the corners of vision. How did you find all that working?
I actually quite like that. I like the somewhat uncanny feeling of it, that there was something uncomfortable going on when you see one city sort of seeping through into the other. So that was something I quite liked, actually.
I must admit, I did as well. I thought it worked very well. And when you combine it with David Morrissey's performance and the deeply unsettling, you know, nature of the sort of transitional bits that he experiences, I thought that worked really well. Did you have anything else in the sort of negative column for this show, Brian?
I think I've covered that reasonably well. I will add on the positive side that the way they handle Breach, and there is a character who is a member of Breach, and Borloo is sort of brought into that world of Breach a little bit more. Seeing that and how it was handled was very well done. And the idea that these things that you can't do, if you're in Breach, you can, and moving from one to the other more fluidly rather than through the checkpoint, we see what that looks like and what sort of being in both looks like. And this idea that once you can do that, you can't unsee things anymore. And that was something that was really interesting. So the sort of ending section, the last episode or so, that was the strong part for me, where the more plot-focused things and some of the resolutions were a little bit less so.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Makes sense of a tricky show.
Yes, indeed.
So it must be recommendations time, because I haven't got anything else in the negatives myself. Would you like to kick us off, Brian?
Sure, I will start with this one. And it's a little bit of a tricky one for me, because I have such mixed feelings about it. I will give this a cautious recommendation, because they do some wonderful things in here with the world building, and some of the story things with the earlier part of it and with the murder mystery and with Breach. Some of that stuff was really good. Unfortunately, the ending was unsatisfying for me. So it can't be a strong recommendation. It has to be sort of a cautious recommendation for me.
Okay. I'm going to say that I am going to recommend the show. I had a terrific time with it. I actually wanted it to go on longer and would love to see the BBC revisit this world, which I don't think is going to happen. But it is very cheap to watch over here on streaming at the moment, and on DVD or by rental. And at the moment, as you say, Brian, it's also on BritBox over there with you as well.
Yes, absolutely.
So thumbs up from me, cautious from yourself, Brian. But as ever, if you've read the book, if you've watched the TV show, if you've seen the stage play, please let us know.
I would love to hear some thoughts from some other folks and some of our listeners about what you think of this one in its various forms.
Great stuff.
So, in summary, The City and the City introduces us to the city of Bejel and the city of Olcoma that occupy the same physical space, or at least parts of them do. And there is a sort of cultural and legal mandate that allows you to be in only one of them at a time with a border checkpoint for going from one to the other. But there also seem to be physical things that make it difficult or impossible to be in both. And you have things seeping through from one to the other, but only in a partial, blurry type of way. So we have this complex, layered situation where Bejel seems a little bit Western, but with Middle Eastern elements mixed in, and Olcoma seems possibly more Eastern European, but also modern in some ways, and a sort of strange relationship between the two. While we also have this murder mystery happening that involves someone who was not from either city, who was from the United States, and being in Olcoma, but then crossing over into Bejel, where she passed away. So we have this complicated situation and this involved murder mystery plot happening as well.
Great stuff. So please come back and join us next time. We're doing a bit of an oddity from 1979, also on the BBC. It's a standalone ghost story called Shelkin the Painter. And we've got some interesting history and all sorts of stuff to talk about next time, Brian.
Yes, that one will bring us to talk about things that we have not talked about before in any of our episodes, which is nice because we've had, you know, well over 400 episodes at this point.
Indeed.
So until then, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com. All of those 400 plus episodes are available there. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group there and talk to us and join in on some of those conversations. You can also follow us on Instagram or on Threads. We are at British_Invaders_podcast on both of those platforms.
Yes, please drop by the socials and let us know what you thought about this show and these episodes. And please drop by the Voice of Geeks Network, where British Invaders is a proud member. You'll find more podcasts, gaming content, streaming, and so on, all at the Voice of Geeks on VogNetwork.com. VogNetwork.com. Tell them Brian Naiman said hello.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, Eamon in England saying, I'll be unseeing you.